turn to someone around you and tell them it's good to see them here this morning.
You made. Jesus bore my suffering to the grave to make me free. All the blood that was shed, it now flows to cover sin. It washes clean and pure.
Why don't we lift up a praise of thanksgiving that he took our place? He didn't have to hang on the cross. In fact, he shouldn't have, but he took our place. We're so thankful for that. Amen. Well, thank you for being here with us this morning. You can be seated. I have several announcements. We would like to first welcome our visitors. We would like to know that you're here and be able to connect with you. So if you wouldn't mind at this time taking a moment to complete our connection card, you can do that on your phone. All you have to do is text TPCDQ to 84576, and that's up on the screen. By doing that, you will receive a $5 gift card in the mail. You can view upcoming events and submit prayer requests. And we will be able to connect and follow up and let you know how excited we were to see you on a Sunday morning. Amen. We're so thankful that you're here. I don't know about you, but if there's ever been a time that I'm reminded I need to be in the house of the Lord so that I can make it to heaven, it's when we have these heat indexes of triple digits. And I am reminded that I'm not made for the heat. And so I've been reminded that I want to make it to heaven. because it's been hot. And so we thank you for getting up on a Louisiana summer day and coming to church. You're in the right place. We want to invite everyone to check out our new website. It's been completely revamped. You can go to tpcdq.church. Check that out. You can submit prayer requests. You can give online. See all of our upcoming events and all that sort of things on our new website. Junior campers, if you are attending junior camp, that's ages 12 through 15, please meet here at the church at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Our kid campers had a great time. I've heard a lot of great things, and I'm not going to steal their thunder, but from what I saw posted on Facebook, there were, I don't know the exact number, but I know over 400 kids got the Holy Ghost last week, and maybe even be closer to 500. So that's awesome. So junior campers, we're going with expectation for the same thing continuing this week in outpouring of the Lord. So we're excited for that. The 106th camp meeting will be July 6th through the 9th at the Tioga campgrounds. A few of the speakers that will be there is Brother Jerry Jones, Chris Paul, Paul Parner, Nathan Harold, and Rima Duncan. That's going to be a great week with some great speakers, and that's just to name a few. So if you can make it to that, that would be awesome. Mother's Memorial, the $100 Club, that deadline is coming up July the 19th. So if you want to be a part of that, that's a great ministry. Make sure to get your offering in. You can give on, in a tithing envelope and just mark it Mother's Memorial, or you can give online for that as well. There will be a visit with Brother Robert Gamble, an outside visit at the DeQuincy Care Center on July 1st at 10 a.m. We would love for everyone that can attend to do so. If you cannot make the scheduled visit, we would appreciate you sending a card or a note. You can leave it here in the church office, or you can give it to Sister Sissy or Sister Lisa, and they'll make sure that all of those cards and notes get to him on the day of that visit. Our last announcement, Father's Day is next Sunday. Please remember all of your dads and give him an extra hug. And at this time, our ushers are going to come forward. While they're coming forward, I want to remind everyone we have several ways to give. You can put it in a tithing envelope and put it here in the offering bag, or you can download our app or go to our website to give online, or you can text TPCDQ to the number on the screen and it will give you a link to give. We want everyone to have an opportunity to give. We're not forcing anyone to, but if you would like to sow a seed into the kingdom, we do our best to make sure it goes to good use. And these are the different ways that you can give. We also have, we have a special announcement. We're baptizing 4 people after service this morning. So that's going to be an awesome celebration. If you can hang out after service, we would greatly appreciate that. So you can celebrate 4 members being added to our TPC family here. We have several prayer requests we're going to take to the Lord this morning. Sister Hennigan, Sister Billie Jean Brown, Brother Gene Smith, Pete Van Winkle, and Katie Dubell. Katie graduated with myself along with several of our TPC members here, and she lives in Indiana now, but she just had twins, and she is needing a touch from the Lord very desperately. So we're going to lift her up this morning, if you don't mind. So at this time, we're going to take all these needs to the Lord and pray over our offering. Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for bringing us all together and, Lord, allowing us to come and worship you in unity. Lord, you see each of these needs, Lord, that we've brought before you. We ask that your healing hand would come down and rest upon each of these people, God. You see the need, you see the way out, you see exactly what they need, God. Lord, we lift this offering up to you. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver and use it all for your kingdom. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? Turn to your neighbor and tell them God don't like cranky Christians. No, he doesn't. You say, well, if I've been cranky, then what? Well, we've all been there, right? Ask the Lord to help you. Man, oh man, I feel the Holy Spirit in this room this morning, don't you? Praise God. I'm going to just start preaching before I take a text. Just stay standing. People ask me, how do you know the Bible is true? There's many reasons that I could tell you. But the number one reason that I could tell you is this, is that man would have never written such a high standard for himself. Man would have given him a lot more loopholes, a lot less stringent laws. And so the reason why I know, one of the reasons why I know this word is from the Lord is because it's so high that you can't live this without the power of the Holy Spirit. See, this is why you need the power of the Holy Spirit, because you can't live up to God's standards. You might get a little better than me or a little higher than me, but guess what? If we're all trying to reach up there, none of us, no matter how tall we are, can jump that high. You might get a little bit closer than me, right? But you can't get all the way up there. See, you can't get all the way up here without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need it. And if you don't have it, you can have it this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. How many's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, washed in His blood? Thank you for the great exchange. How many ever laid some old sins at a cross? And for your sins, He gave you salvation. For your old ugly ashes, He gave you beauty. And for your mourning, He gave you dancing. Isn't it great to be in God's house? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, man, I just love you. And if you don't love him, ask God to forgive you. Man, I love you. I love you. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you go to the book of 1 Kings? And as you are preparing to go to 1 Kings, just let me say to all of our guests, we welcome you. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to condemn you. We're not here to point the finger at you. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. And we're going to baptize 4 people in Jesus' name this morning. We're going to baptize, Taylor. Taylor, wave your hand. We're going to baptize Taylor. And then Taylor's mama, Belinda, raise your hand. And then we're going to baptize Sophie. Sophie, where are you at? Where's Sophie at? Sophie's, all right, Sophie. And then we're going to baptize Lila. So, Lila, where are you at? She's upstairs too, huh? So, listen, y'all, if you just don't have to run out to, you know, your favorite chicken joint, hang out here a minute, right? And let's celebrate 4 people being added to the family of God. That's really exciting. I'm excited about that. Well, I didn't think I was going to say this, but I am. There's a lot of things I tell myself, Wayne, don't say that. And I have a conversation with myself. I say, okay, I'm not going to say that. And then I get up here and say it. I went somewhere this weekend. I'm not going to tell you where I went, but I went somewhere this weekend. And this place where I went, there was this man, and he got out and he started dancing. I didn't go to a bar or anything. I went to a family reunion. Yeah, because I knew what y'all were thinking. My God, my pastor going to a bar. Janet's left him. He's done gone crazy. No, but I did. I went to a family reunion. I won't tell you where, what, who, any of that. It's not important. But this man got out, and boy, he started. I mean, man, he was juking, and he was getting it. I have a feeling, you know, something was helping him a little bit there. But this man knows about this truth. Yeah, he knows about it. You know what I got to thinking? All that's got to happen is just a shift in his life. Because one is a substitute spirit that will leave you. The other is an eternal spirit that will never leave you. And all that has to happen is there just has to be a shift, right? A shift. Because God still wants you dancing. He just wants you dancing for the right reasons. And he still wants you to be filled with Spirit, just the Holy Spirit. So I don't know who you are this morning. Listen, if you have a family member that is astray and is no longer in the way, I'm here to tell you that God is working and God is moving. And God wants to do some things in some families where all he does is he just shifts some things in their life and they're no longer dancing for the devil, but now they're rejoicing in what God has done in their life. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Here's what I'm telling you, that no matter what you've done, no matter who you've done it with, no matter how long you've done it, God loves you. And if you will quit running and just give him a chance, all he'll ever do is just love you. Amen. Well, to all of our guests, thank you for being here. To all of you, thank you for being here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 17, to our guests, we welcome you, to all of you that are online. Thank you for joining our online community today. I'm going to talk to you this morning out of some of my own personal experience. Here's what I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you. Okay, you ready? For some of you, the drought is about to end. I don't know all what that means, but for some of you this morning, the drought is about to end, but it's not over yet, but it's about to end. And what I want to try to do for the next 30 minutes is I want to try to bring maybe a little bit of understanding about where you are right now and what this season of drought is serving in your life. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, and I want you to look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide in the brook Cherith, which floweth into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which floweth into the Jordan. Verse 6. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Father, would you help me for the next few minutes this morning, anoint my mind and my mouth and help me to say something from your word that would add value to your people in the season that they are in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Last week, I made this statement, and I want to make it again. You will never know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to say it again. God will put you in a season in life that you will never know that God is all you need until God is all you got. See, that's why God allows a shortage in our lives or a lack in our lives, is to remind us that, yeah, you can do some things on your own, but without him, you can do nothing. Right? In your flesh, yeah, in your flesh you can do some things, but you're not going to do anything of spiritual value without him. And it reminds us that we need God. Say this with me 5 times. I'm not God. He is. Say it again. I'm not God. He is. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're not God. He is. See, you got to remind yourself, I can't do this without the Lord. There's some things that I can add and there's some things that I can do, but I can't walk this without the Lord. I want to give you a little background on 1 Kings chapter 17. Here it is. Ahab and Jezebel were the worst king and queen in all of Israel's history. And the reason why they were the worst is because they shut down the worship of the one true God and they brought in the worship of Baal. Now, if you study Baal, you will know that Baal is a Canaanite religion. And in this religion, they believed that Baal had the authority over rain and fertility. So what we're about to see is we're about to see Elijah is going to get fed up with Ahab and Jezebel and this Canaanite religion that they think that Baal is the god over rain. And so now we're going to have a confrontation because Elijah is going to come to Ahab and Jezebel and he's going to tell them it's not going to rain until I, the prophet, say so. So now guess what happens? That ticks them off. They get very mad about it. This is all in 1 Kings. I'm paraphrasing, but they get mad. And then they basically say, you know what, Elijah, we're going to assassinate you. We're going to put out bounty hunters for your head and we're going to take you out because you're our enemy. Well, when he hears that, the word of the Lord speaks to him and says, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go by this brook. I want you to go. I want you to leave. And I want you to get by the brook Cherith. And at that brook, I'm going to send you ravens that are actually going to feed you. And you are going to drink water from this brook. Now, this word Cherith, it means to cut off. Now, Elijah is a man of God. He is doing the will of God. He is God's prophet. But he sends him to a place where he is cut off. Now, I want to reach some honest folk this morning. Have you ever felt like you were cut off from family, friends, money? Whatever it may be, you felt like you were totally cut off, social interaction, things that are happening in the world, the limelight, the stage. He is totally cut off and he's all by himself. You say, what's going on here? Here's what's happening. God is saying, you need time alone with me. You need to make sure that your focus is on me. You need to develop your inner life, and I want your undivided attention. See, God uses private darkness in your life to prepare you, not for where you are, but for where you're going. Can I tell you that this happened to me in Columbia, Maryland? And when it happened, it cut me off from support systems and family and friends. And people could come by and they could wave hi to me, but it was like they couldn't help me. They couldn't touch me. Because God can put you in a place where you feel like you are totally cut off. People can say, I'm praying for you. People can try to encourage you, but you still feel so alone. Listen, if you're there this morning, here is the good news that God wants me to tell you. The drought is about to end. The drought is about over in your life. But don't leave where God has you until he's done with the process. Can I get a witness in this house? It says in 1 Kings 17:7, it says this, and the brook dried up. For some of you this morning, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but the brook is drying up in your life. And you're in a situation right now where the money's not there, and the friends aren't there, and the support isn't there, and the energy isn't there, and the health isn't there, and these things have dried up in your life. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? What does it mean when something good all of a sudden is gone from your life? What do you do when you've been at the brook and the brook has dried up economically, relationally, financially, emotionally, or whatever? Here are some of the reasons why the brook dries up. And for somebody this morning, you need to know this. Are you ready? The brook dries up to keep me from depending on the brook. Brothers and sisters, once again, we are people of, we're creatures that if we can make it without God, we would try. That's our human nature. is to try to make it without God. It would have been very easy for Elijah just to forget God and focus on the birds and the brook. Pretty soon you start developing a mindset that this bird is going to come every day. And this bird is going to drop this food down to you week after week and month after month. And now you're no longer thinking about God. You're thinking about, is the bird on time? And some of you this morning, the bird is late in your life. And now you're wondering, oh my God, what am I going to do? Here's what's happening. God says, whatever you're trusting in, if it's not me, I'm going to turn it off. And now it's going to get quiet up in here. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not preaching something I haven't lived. I know what it is to be turned off. God said, no, you're not going to depend on a mama. You're not going to depend on a stage that was built for you. You're not going to depend on a support system. I'm not going to even let you depend on money. Brothers and sisters, for 18 months, I sat in depression, wondering why everything had been turned off from my life. I didn't realize it. I didn't know it. But God was showing me, son, you're not going to depend on a mama. You're not going to depend on a stage. You're not going to depend on a church. I'm going to wean you from all of that, and your brook is going to dry up, and everything in you screams because you're used to all of this support. But God is getting you alone so that you can understand. You got to realize that God is all you need, and God will make a way. Am I preaching to anybody? Hallelujah. God says you got to trust me. I know what I'm fixing to say is harsh, but you got to believe this. Anything that we put in front of God is an idol. Can I preach this morning? Anything that we put before God is an idol. You say, what is the bird in the brook in my life? It's whatever you're looking to bring you happiness. That's the bird in the brook. Whatever you're looking for to bring you happiness, whether that's your husband, your wife, your kids, your job, your degrees, it could be sports, it could be your health. If you're looking to something besides God to meet your needs, then listen, God has a way of cutting some things off. Now, what I'm going to say is very personal. And I pray that you don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I want you to know that I believe God is a loving God. He's a kind God. He's merciful. He's gentle. His nature is to do us good. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm going to also tell you a side of God. We had this thought that if God ever gives us a gift, he has no right to take it back. That's nonsense. Because God is God. And God can give you something, and when he gives you something, he has the right to take it away because God is sovereign. God asked me the question when my mother died. I got real angry at God. Really did. My mom was 57. She was a wonderful lady. You've heard this story before, but for those of you that are new, you haven't. My mom was a phenomenal lady. And when she passed away, I got very angry because I never heard her say any kind of swear words. I never saw her live any type of life of duplicity. She was very consistent. And I just didn't understand after we had seen, my father had a wonderful ministry of seeing people healed and the miraculous. And we had seen some wonderful things in our life, even in my own ministry. And yet, it feels kind of like a slap in the face when you pray for your family and yet your family can't receive. Felt like, how come we can see other people healed and we can't see our own healed? Am I resonating with anybody? And when my mother passed on, I got real angry. And I remember after months, I had a conversation with God. And I started talking to him about it. And the Lord did, he spoke to me. And this is what he said very, very plainly. He said this, are you the owner? Are you your mom's owner? Like that. And I said, no, sir. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, then that means you're a steward. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm a steward. So what you have to learn, son, is that I'm the owner and I have the right to give and I have the right to take. Because according to my word, every good gift comes from the Lord. It's all a gift. I can tell you're not buying into this. I know it's a little hard to understand, but here's the way God sees it. Every good thing that is in your life is a gift from Him. Every good thing in your life is a gift from Him. He's the owner and you're the steward. And so if He allows you to have it for 10 years, 50 years, 60 years, or 13 years, it's all His gift. Well, that ain't going over too well. See, it's here's, and you say, I don't understand that about God. It's because God is not wanting you to trust in the gift. He's wanting you to trust in the God that gives the gift. See, He's not wanting you to trust in healing. He's wanting you to trust in the healer. He's not wanting you to trust in the gift. He's wanting you to trust in the giver. You say, I don't understand that about God. Well, God's ways are not your ways. Come on, somebody. He sees that all of us are stewards of what we've been given. We're not the owners. And so God allows gifts to come into our life. And then for one reason or another, they may exit our life. See, there's no gift that God gives on this earth that is eternal except eternal life. And there's no gift that's going to last on this planet forever except the gift of God. It's all just a gift. Here's the second reason why the brook dries up is to move us to a better place. I want to encourage somebody this morning. Your drought is about over. And why the brook is drying up is because God has no intentions on leaving you at Cherith for all of your life. He wants you to learn some things there, and then He wants to move you on. Because there's a big world out there that God wants to use you in, but you've got to learn some things first. Can I get a witness? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God's about to move you to a better place. Come on, tell them like you mean it. See, God had no intention on leaving Elijah there. When the brook dries up, you know what? We think it's bad. Man, I lost my job. Man, I lost this, I lost that. It could be the best thing that happens to you. I want to see a show of hands in just a minute after I ask you this question. How many times has something you thought was actually going to turn out bad, it turned out for the good in your life? Let me see your hand. There you have it. See, the things that you thought were going to destroy you are actually developing you. Sometimes God turns off the water supply because He says, I want to move you to a new place. There's nothing that gets you in shape faster than having your health go bad. All of a sudden, you say, well, maybe I need to start eating right. Maybe I need to start exercising. See, these kind of things get your attention because you need a big enough why. If you don't have a big enough why, you're going to just stay right there. But God's going to allow some things to dry up because He's got some better things for you. I want to tell you a story that's pretty neat. In Enterprise, Alabama, there was a group of farmers and they had been farming cotton. And they farmed cotton for years and years, and until there was a boll weevil that showed up. And this boll weevil showed up and started eating all of these farmers' crops. And so year after year, literally 3 years in a row, this boll weevil ate all of the cotton. And the farmers got together in their bankruptcy state and said, we can't keep doing this. We can't keep growing cotton. So they decided they're going to grow peanuts. So they started growing peanuts, and come to find out, peanuts was a more profitable crop than actually cotton was. These farmers got together in Enterprise, Alabama, and they actually erected a statue to the boll weevil as saying, thank you for helping us to get out of cotton and move on to peanuts, because we would have never enjoyed the prosperity that we're enjoying had we not left it. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I'm here to tell you, hang in there, because when this brook dries up, God's got something better for you down the road. Oh, some of you, you know what? I never thanked the devil for anything in my life. But some of you are going to go back and say, thank you, devil. I thought what you was doing was putting me under. I didn't realize that God was getting ready for me to go to the next level. I didn't know that God had to allow me to go through that so he could get me ready for this. Somebody give some praise to the Lord right now. Now here's the second test of Elijah. This is found in 1 Kings 17. We move down to verses 8 and 9. It said, so the Lord said to Elijah, now get up. You're going to leave this brook. Now get up. I'm done. You've learned a lesson. Now I want you to go to Zarephath and I want you to live there. Now here's what's interesting. Zarephath is not even in Israel. This is pretty interesting. It's in modern day Lebanon. It's a small town on the coast of the Mediterranean. It wasn't even a Jewish city. It was a pagan city. For Elijah to get from Cherith to Zarephath, guess what? He had to go through dangerous territory. It's over 100 miles from Elijah to get to where he was, to where God wants him. And remember, he's a marked man. There are wanted signs posted all throughout Israel. Kill Elijah. He's going to have to walk right through the heartland of Baal worship, where everybody there wants to kill him. And in fact, Zarephath was the hometown of Jezebel. Now think about it. Elijah says, God, you mean that you are sending me to the hometown of Jezebel? God, you got to be kidding me. All of her friends are there. Everybody's there that loves Baal. And that's where you're going to send me? And God says this, when you go to Zarephath, I'm going to have a poor widow to take care of you. Oh, this goes from bad to worse. So I'm going to walk 100 miles. With my, you know, wanted signs all along the way. Then I'm going to go to Jezebel's hometown. And then I'm going to meet a poor widow woman. Of all the people that God could send him, he says, I'm going to send you to a poor widow. Now, some of you are on the road from this brook to Zarephath. And it seems like that it's getting from bad to worse. And you got a pile of bills at the house. And you got more month than you do money. And you don't know where it's going to come from. But here's three things that I feel like the Lord wants me to remind you of. Number one, on the path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. Amen. See, miracles never happen in your comfort zone. In order for David to defeat Goliath, he has to first walk out into the battlefield. In order for Moses to lead his people to the promised land, he's got to lead them to the Red Sea. Where God has got some of you right now is very uncomfortable. But just hang on, because it's just a step to where God wants to take you. Can I get a witness? See, miracles never happen in your comfort zone. Here's the second thing. The source of a miracle is always unexpected. Can I tell you that God has a way of blessing you that you never saw coming? Listen, if you give somebody a blessing, don't look for God to bless you through that person. It's normally going to come through somebody else. Can I get a witness? See, the day came when they no longer in the wilderness got the manna. The manna dried up. The manna dries up. And now you've been used to that type of blessing. But God is saying, I got 1,000 ways to bless you, but all you need is just one. For somebody here this morning, the brook is drying up, but that doesn't mean that God has dried up. He's got another way that is going to bless you. And you've got to be mature enough to be able to eat from another tree. Can I get a witness? See, when God told Abraham, you're going to have a son, then he takes matters into his own hands. He has a relationship with the woman who's not his wife. And then he holds up Ishmael and he says, here's my son. And God says, no, wrong answer. That's not the one I promised. That's the one you came up with, but that's not my plan. My plan is I'm going to use Sarah, your wife, to do a miracle through her after she's totally incapable of having a child. The source of your miracle is always unexpected. If you could understand God, you would be God, but we're not. Amen. Say it again, I'm not God. Say it again, I'm not God. Say it again, I'm not God. Quit looking for this person to bless you, because most likely it ain't coming through them. It's going to come a God way. God's going to send somebody to you that's just going to blow your mind. God's going to open up a door that you never thought this door would open up. The Holy Spirit told me to tell somebody that the drought is about over in your life. You just got to understand what you're going through. So what do you do, Pastor, when you're on this road trip? I'm going to tell you, this is very hard, but you do your best not to fret, not to worry, not to try to figure it out, not to try to formulate. You just have faith and you trust God. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. Here's the next thing. The third thing you need to remember when you're on your journey is CPR. CPR. Here's how God operates. He commands, he gives you a promise, and then he wants you to take a risk. He gives you a command, he wants you to believe his promise, then he wants you to take a risk. God gave Noah a command, build an ark. He said, I promise if you'll build an ark, I'll save your family. Noah takes the risk, and what happens? His family is saved. Elijah comes to Zarephath. Here's what the scripture says. When he reached the town gate, Elijah saw a widow gathering firewood, and he asked her, would you please bring me a drink of water? And as she was going to get it, Elijah added, and please bring me a small piece of bread too. Now, this is crazy. I want you to think about this. Can you imagine walking up to a total stranger? It's very obvious that this stranger is probably homeless. They have nothing. And you walk up to a total stranger and you say, hey, do you mind giving me your bottle of water? And while you're at it, would you go to Subway and get me a sandwich? Do you mind? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to just tell you, I probably would never do that. I probably would never walk up to a stranger that I know is homeless and has nothing and says, hey, would you give me what you got to drink? And by the way, would you mind going and get me a sandwich? Some of you are looking at me. Yep. That's exactly what the Lord did. You know why? Because he gave him CPR. Here's the command. Go to a widow in Zarephath. Ask her. Ask her for some bread. And then watch what I'm going to do. See, God not only wants to bless you, he wants to bless the people around you. See, God don't bless you just so you can be blessed. He don't bless you so you can just ride up here in a fine ride. I ain't against all that. But you know what? He don't bless you so you can just keep storing it up. He's got a kingdom here. And he wants to bless you for the kingdom. Can I get a witness? Amen. See, and so here's what this woman answered. She said, as surely as God lives. Notice she says this, as surely as your God, because she's a pagan. She's an idol worshiper. She said, as surely as your God lives, I swear I have no bread. I only have a handful of flour left in a small jar and a little olive oil left in a jug. I came here, she said, to gather a little bit of wood, and what little bit I've got left, I'm going to cook this last meal, and me and my son are going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah's thinking, You're sending me to a woman who doesn't even have food and water for her own family. You're sending me, God, to a woman that's got one meal left. This is totally illogical, but you know what it is? It's a test. It's a test. See, the test is this, brothers and sisters. If you haven't woke up, wake up now. You ready? The test is this. Do you believe God or do you believe yourself? Are you going to trust in God? Are you going to trust in yourself? Because do you believe that God is smarter than you? Then if you do, then trust Him. And if you believe that God wants to bless you, then you're going to have to do it God's way. Now, if you don't want a miracle here this morning, just do it your own way. But if you want a miracle, you're going to have to do it God's way. Here's what Elijah says. He says, lady, don't be afraid. Go home. Make me a cake first. Then bring it to me. And then cook something for yourself and your son. You know, this doesn't even sound right. I'm going to ask y'all, in your flesh, in your own mind, would you ever go up to a widow woman, a homeless person, and ask them to give you something? It's doubtful. What is Elijah doing here? He's doing the very thing that God asked him to do. He's doing CPR. See, God didn't want to just bless Elijah. He wanted to bless this widow woman. And so she had to go through the same steps of faith that he did. Do you know what Zarephath means in Hebrew? It means refinery. He was going through the refinery. He had gone through a time of isolation. He is now going through the refinery. What does the refinery do? Here's what it does. It takes the heat and the pressure to purify and to shape raw material into something useful. And to somebody here this morning, you're in the refinery and the pressure's on in your life and the heat is on in your life to purify your motives and to shape you to be used by God in ways that you can't even imagine. And you're asking this morning, where am I going to get the money? Where am I going to get the time? Where am I going to get the energy? Where am I going to get the help? Where am I going to get the creativity? Where am I going to get the support? I ask all of those questions. And here's what you need to remember when you run out of resources. Number one, whatever I need more of, give what I have to God. I'm going to say this again. Whatever I need more of, give what I have to God. From a human's standpoint, we would have said, woman, you're poor. You're a widow. Keep your little oil. Keep what little bit you've got. I would never ask you for that. And there's a myth that sometimes says, I cannot afford to be generous. Can I tell you that's wrong? You can always afford to be generous. You've always got something you can give. It may be your last meal, but you can give something. It's not a myth. It's not a myth when you say, I don't have anything to give. You do have something to give. You can give encouragement. You can give love. You can give a kind word. But whatever it is you want, you got to give it away. Can I get a witness? If you want a miracle, you got to do it God's way. Here's the second thing. Whatever I have the least of, I give it to God. Whatever I have the least of, I give it to God. See, we were taught that you just give out of your extra. You just give out of your leftovers. It's not the way God teaches it. God says if you want a miracle, you give what you don't have to give. And when you do it, I'm going to bless it. Here's some things you need to remember, and I'm going to wrap this up. Number one, God is all I need. Number two, where God guides, He provides. Number three, I must trust Him one day at a time. Here's number four, God promises hinge on my obedience. Why? Because the Bible says this, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I felt like the Lord just wanted me to come along somebody today and encourage you. The drought is about over. But you're going through a process. That's a process of isolation. It's a process of refinement. It's a process of CPR. It's the command of God. It's the promise, and it's the risk. You're going to have to step out of your boat if you're going to walk on water. You're going to have to do what God is calling you to do if you're going to get God's results. You say, I don't have anything to give. You know what? Whatever God lays on your heart, give that. I'm not here to receive an offering this morning, okay? That's not the purpose. I'm here to tell you that if you want a miracle in your life, you're going to have to do it God's way. Can I get a witness? Let's stand together. If you don't know the Lord this morning, you may say, Pastor, I've heard what you said this morning. Seems like God's kind of harsh. No, God isn't. But his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. It's all about who you are becoming. Because God's more concerned about where you're going and who you are becoming than where you are right now. I want to encourage somebody. Your best days are in front of you. All that you're going through right now is for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's God getting you where he wants you. But you have to trust that. You have to trust that. And I want to pray over you today. Would you bow your heads? Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. God, I know that there are some people who feel isolated, alone, afraid. There are some people who are going through the refiner's fire and they're wondering, why am I going through this? Why am I feeling what I'm feeling and the heat and the pressure? Why, oh God? It's because, God, you are refining our faith and you are getting us ready for the supernatural and the power of Almighty God that's going to be demonstrated in our lives in a great way. Lord, we ask you now that you would take this word and use it, Lord, and plant it as a seed for the glory of God. And everybody say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. How many of you have ever felt like that I've been what you've talked about, Pastor? I've been there. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you that the drought is about over. But if you want God's results, you're going to have to do it God's way. I'm trying to let you go. We've got some baptisms this morning. But I wonder, is there anybody? You just been going through it lately. Maybe you could really resonate with what I've talked about this morning. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Wow. Wow, there's a lot of hands. Thank you. You know what we are to do? We are to bear one another's burdens. Sister June, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here to tell you, according to the word of the Lord, the drought is about over. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask something of you that I typically don't ask, but if you raise your hands, I want you to just step out from where you are right now, and I want you to come up to this front. I want you to come up. I want you to come up. Come on. I don't typically ask this of you, but I want you to come up. Come on. Come on. Come on, just keep getting closer. The Lord sent me here to encourage you. The drought is about over. But while you're going through what you're going through, don't turn your back on the very thing that is preparing you for where you're going. I can remember for 18 months, I've told you all this story, but I'm saying it again because it's pertinent. I stayed pretty much depressed because everything I had relied on had now exited my life. I didn't know that I was coming to De Quincy. I didn't know that I was going to be pastor of one of the great churches in Louisiana. Didn't know any of that. Didn't realize what was happening and why this was exiting and why this was happening. But now as I look back on it, I see God was preparing me. He was refining my faith. He had to allow me to go through isolation. Y'all listen to your pastor real quick. Because I hate to say this, but once upon a time in my life, I was more concerned about the applause of men than I was the applause of heaven. And I'm so embarrassed to tell you this, but once upon a time in my life, I longed more for the compliments of men than even I did for the approval of God. And God had to refine, isolate, and withdraw, not to hurt me, but to help me, to get me where He wanted me to be. God wants to use you in ways that you can't even imagine, but the enemy would love right now to step in and take you back. And I've just come alongside you to try to make sense of where you are, that the drought is almost over. But stay through the process, because when you come out on the other side, you're going to look back and you're going to say, now I know why I had to go through that, because that was getting me ready for this. Would you lay your hand on your neighbor's shoulder right now, and whatever it is you need, would you give it away in prayer? That's what we're talking about. You say, I'm empty, Pastor. Come on. No, you got something to give. Give a prayer away right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, we need a breakthrough. I need some people to help me right now. I need some TPC people to help me right now. Come on, God wants to strengthen you. God wants you to leave here this morning strengthened. need some TPC people to help me. Somebody needs a break.